Episode 205, August 3rd, 2015.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show. Now on
with the countdown. With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Robinson, rest in peace, Cecil the Lion, Rowdy Roddy Piper, that hitchhiking robot we all fell in love with.
What was its name? Hitchbot, right?
Hitchbot, yes.
Alfred Hitchbot.
Alfred Hitchbot, that's his full name? That's a better name, actually. We have a lot to talk about this week, Joe. I don't even want to list everything, because we tend to get on tangents, and then we won't get to it.
Yeah, and then we've already said it, and people
exactly.
are like, oh, I wanted to hear about that BS that you said at the beginning of the show.
But we do want to talk about those three deaths. I do definitely want to talk about me meeting and doing comedy with Todd Packer from The Office. And I definitely want to talk about Scott Apple at the Orioles game with you. Just tell me how that happened. Wait. Actually, no. Scott Apple is your coworker, which would make him someone local. Because one of the complaints we get on this show is that we talk too inside.
Well, I can't defend that. Because clearly, if we talk about something inside, they're either a character that we've established on this show,
yes,
or something interesting. If we have somebody that's on this show, if we have somebody who's done two music quizzes, we told the story about the IBS, we played the Love Connection game with them. I can't even think of all the other things that we've done.
Well, don't say you went to an Orioles game. Say you went to a Colorado Rockies game.
But if we can't then tell a story specific to him, then, yeah, I mean, I guess new listeners, I still think they'll appreciate it. I do.
Yeah, I disagree. If we're telling somebody that's local and it's not interesting, it's not because it's local. It's because we're not doing a good job of telling the story.
Which, how could that be possible?
That's very possible. But Scott Apple, the man who knows nothing about sports or music, was this his first professional sporting event?
No, he's been to Oreo games before because his parents were friends with Tom Clancy.
The writer?
That's
big
correct.
Orioles fan?
And are still friends with the widowed, whatever her name is, Mrs. Tom Clancy.
Okay.
So he's been to games, but this is probably one of the first games that he's ever been to where he was old enough to drink. So we had one of those, I don't know if you've ever been to one of those bullpen parties that they have, but you get free alcohol there. Scott went up and got himself a Miller Lite. No, he didn't. No, I'm sorry. King of Beers, Budweiser. He got himself a Budweiser.
When you're getting free alcohol, that's what you go for.
He drank the Budweiser. Then he drank a second Budweiser. And I noticed after he drank the second one, he made a comment. He's like, man, look at the tits on that. And I look over, and it's this 300-pound woman who works there. And I'm like, what do you mean, look like that's disgusting? Is look how huge they are. I understand that. But if she were to lose 150, they would be the normal size of breasts. That's not, she doesn't have giant boobs because they're wonderful. It's because she's gained so much weight that everything is in proportion. It's not worth mentioning.
Do you ever see a large woman with small breasts? Because that's the worst physical thing you can have happening to you.
Yeah, it is. You're 100% correct. That's just not fair for that to happen.
Yeah, you question that there's a God when you see that.
It's funny because we went up to the bar upstairs and he had his third beer.
Uh-oh.
And for him, he weighs like 130 pounds. So I think like if you look on that scale, like a third beer, you know, he's wasted. He's out and he's buying cotton candy. He's loud. He literally went down. He goes, I'm going to buy you guys. And he came down, came back up. Everybody got cotton candy. He bought us all cotton candy.
What, do you think you're all 7 years old? When's the last time you bought cotton candy for yourself?
It's been forever, but I'll tell you this. I ate it and it was delicious, so I was appreciative.
Now, does he understand baseball?
No, he doesn't understand it at all. Matter of fact, we were asking him a bunch of questions. You know, he calls runs points, which is hard. It's hard to deal with, right?
It's a very girl thing to do.
Of course it is. He's like, how many points do they have? They don't have any points. I'm like, you know what? They're never going to have any points, Scott, throughout the whole game.
Are people looking at him and wondering?
They're looking at him already. Like, this guy's a baseball fan, right? Anyway,
was he wearing an Orioles gear or does he have some weird?
No, I think he was wearing like a button up, if I'm not mistaken, right? But he also said one time, I don't remember who pitched for us. I know they got rocked. Chen, I think it was. Chen throws a curveball. He buries it, right? It lands like, you know, a foot and a half in front of the pit plate. And he's like, he starts laughing hysterically. He goes, oh, my God. He couldn't even make it to the catcher. He couldn't even call it. The guy catching it is what he called it. He couldn't even make it to that guy catching the ball. He couldn't even throw the ball all the way to him. Did he do that on purpose? And I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
Getting the name of the catcher right is really easy because you know what he does. He catches.
He calls home plate first plate.
That I've never heard.
It's the first plate, right?
That's technically true. Didn't he? There's something else that you said that he told me that was hilarious.
Yeah, we did a lot of questions, and you know, because I remember I said,
he says, can you throw the ball at the runner?
Like, yes, that's right. Can you throw the ball at the runner, hitting them, making them out, as you do in dodgeball, which is probably a sport that he is familiar with.
Well, not with throwing and hitting, with getting hit, probably. Yeah.
Can you imagine if you could hit somebody with a thrown baseball? Oh, that would just be brutal, right?
Oh, well, that would be a horrible sport.
It would be. It'd be like that Thunderball is what it would be like.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to play that sport.
It was a Rollerball. That's what it was called. Wasn't that that movie with Paul Newman where you die in the game? Rollerball?
I don't know. Robbie's the movie expert of old movies. I got to work with a movie star this weekend, Joe. A real life, I don't know if he's a movie star, but he's a great character actor.
Oh, he was an Anchorman. I mean, I don't know if he's a movie star, but I mean, everybody knows who he is.
Yes. David Koechner is his real name. And you might know him from Todd Packer on The Office. You might know him, I guess, Anchorman, maybe the most famous movie.
Well, SNL is where he got his start. And I remember he did, I don't remember what it was, but when I was married, my wife and I would always sing that when he'd be, don't go chasing them their waterfalls. He played like some like redneck guy or whatever, and he would be singing that song by TLC.
Right, yeah.
So funny.
Champ Kind was his name on in Anchorman.
Yeah, he was a sports guy, right?
I don't even remember, to be honest. But I love him on The Office, I Todd Packer. Love The Office. He is, you know, sometimes someone is exactly who you want them to be, and that was him.
He was cool.
Yeah.
Could tell he was going to be cool.
It was a Friday and Saturday, and I had a show Thursday there in the small room, and I'm there for that, and he shows up, and I guess he just got into town. He's drunk. He's drinking. He's like, give me some time. Who runs this thing? You know, he's with Colleen, one of the owners.
Could he get time? What if they wouldn't let him on stage?
Right. Sorry, he's like, who don't he talk to? He knows he can get time, but he's having fun with it. He goes to the guy running it, this guy, Josh Goderna, inside. And he goes, is this your room? Because I'm going to bomb and I'm going to end this. I'm going to end this gig for you. So, right? I mean, there's the owners had their kids in the main room for them, some swim party thing. And they had a little party. So he was talking to kids, getting pictures. I mean, he was holding court. He was super cool.
Did he go on stage?
He went on stage. And, you know, he was just messing around. People were going crazy and people were yelling out stuff. And he's telling them to fuck off and having fun with it. And then, you know, on the weekend, super nice. Like on Saturday night, it sold out every show, of course. And, you know, Tawanda's coming. He's like, are they going to let her in? Because I'll put her on the list. I got you. I said, no, they'll let me in. He's like, wait, are they going to pay? Are they going to charge her? I said, no, it's good. Are they going to charge her for food? Because I'll make sure everything's free. I'm like, dude, it's okay. So he's going out of his way to be really cool. And we had a little conversation about his career, what he's trying to do, this sitcom with ABC, with Johnny Knoxville. He's trying to do a comedy special. He, you know, I asked him, like, why are you doing this? Like, because I got five kids. I need money. Like, this is something you can count on. It makes sense. So he really wants to do well in comedy. He's not actually just going
up there. He sounds like a guy. First of all, he said he's trying to do an hour special. There's not a network that wouldn't, even HBO would give him his own hour, right?
Well, Netflix is probably that's where everybody goes for comedy specials. Yeah. But, I mean, if he went up there and just did characters and voices and just John Witherspooned it and just did lines from movies, he probably would do better. But he's stuck between, because he has five kids and a wife, so a lot of his jokes are about that. But I don't think he wants to be that. He wants to do characters and do other stuff. He doesn't want it to be so biographical. But he's everything you wanted him to be. I got his phone number. We texted back. I should probably have him do the show. That would be cool, right?
Yes. Are you kidding me?
Because he did. Josh Goderna and this guy Mike Moran, they have a podcast here, the Digression Sessions. They went to his hotel room and interviewed him. He let them do that.
Well, if he's going to be on their podcast, he's going to be on ours.
Yeah. So I got his number. I'll reach out to him, and then we'll set up a time. We'll call him. That'll work, right, Robbie? Can you do that?
Just like we were going to get Skippy on?
This is a much bigger get. But let me ask you this. How are you going to do it? Are you going to be cool at first? Like, hey, man, great working with you. You've already sent that text, right?
Yes. And he already replied to it.
Now, are you going to find some other way to, like, reach out to him on a friend level?
When I asked at the end of the week, you know, it's late. It's Saturday night. He's drunk. I had to get to exchange information. I thought, like, an email or follow me back on Twitter. I'll send you my information. He takes... He takes his phone and says, here, put your number in and text yourself. So he phone number. I wasn't even going for that. He put out phone number. So I'm like, all right. So then I texted him and I texted me from him. And then I responded, you know, great work with you. And he responded back the next day. You know, says, hey, great work with you too. So I feel like, you know, it's not going to be awkward if I ask him.
Well, let's call him right now.
I don't want to take advantage of that.
Let's call Dave Chappelle then.
You know what? When I worked with Rocky Laporte, he gave me his phone number. I'm never going to call it.
Oh, come on. Let's call him right now then.
He won't remember me. I have it. You ready?
No, I don't want to. Wait, what are we going to talk to Rocky Laporte about?
I have no idea.
Let's call Marvelstein.
Yeah.
That I'll do. Marcus?
We can make that happen.
All right.
Just give his number out over the air. I don't really want to talk to him.
Because, Marcus, you said that Mermelstein listened to the episode, but had really no comment on it. Is that correct?
Mermelstein's comment was he did listen because obviously his name was all over it. And then he followed it up with, great show. Wish they hadn't talked so much about Inside Baltimore comedy.
Oh, see, that's the source. It's Mermelstein.
People listen to him. He's got power. Can we call Mermelstein right now?
Let's call him right now and say, give me an example of something you were referring to.
Can you group him in, Marcus, or do I have to?
You would have to do it, but honestly, tonight we can't do it because he is currently with a client. We can get him here next week.
Right now. All right, now and ask him if he can step away.
He won't even answer the phone. I know how he works. He won't even answer the phone. But if you want, I'll get him here next week.
Away, tell him it's urgent, and then it's just us.
What kind of meeting is it 7:45 at night?
He's a photographer. He does all kinds of weird, crazy appointments. The guy is up at 4 a.m. to do nature walks with people so they can take pictures of leaves in the early morning light.
If I said to Mermelstein, I'd like to have a meeting with you, and he said, how about 4 a.m.? I'd be like, what the fuck is your problem?
They ask
him.
We want
him to do our new headshots.
Okay, we can make that happen. He can probably also do it with a drone if you want a nice aerial shot to keep your double chin out of it.
I would like that. Ooh. People say that I look like, or I'm going to look like David Koechner. I'm getting to look like
that. Yeah, no, I see that. I did. Yeah. When I saw you two standing next to each other, I'm like, huh. Yeah. That's not a bad look either. He's a good-looking guy.
You know what? Tawanda found him a lot better looking in person than what she expected him to be. He was thinner than she thought. He loved Tawanda. He sat and talked to her. He was, I mean.
Of course he loved Tawanda. Yeah. What do you think was going to happen?
Yeah, you're right. Now, I'm thinking, is part of him just drinking and having fun and doing this, is he's getting out of the house? He's got a wife and five kids.
Five kids? Yes. Yeah. He's just happy to be anywhere.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? Just because you're, it's not like you're going out partying. You're working. You're making money. But it is fun.
Yeah, how much money do you think he makes at that thing?
You mean at the draft house or doing?
Yeah.
Four shows. He probably made, $10,000 maybe.
Yeah. It's a good little weekend.
Yeah. I pumped the murder mystery huge because we got some announcements on that front. If you're following the thing we had at Two Rivers, which was supposed to be this weekend, that got canceled. They were charging $70 a person. Which, now, granted, that did give you a steak and crab cake dinner, but still, $70 a person.
That was, yeah, as soon as they said that, well, first of all, when they said they're going to charge $70, I was like, what? And they go, well, they've already sold it out with the, you know, the murder mystery that Katie and I went to see?
Right.
That was the impetus for this murder mystery. That was there three times, and they've sold it out. Now, none of it was during the summer. But still, I mean, we have Justin Schlegel. They have some guy, you know, from the community college. That's you all.
And it was the same price?
$70, yeah.
That's weird. Okay. But the nut we've been trying to crack here, one of the main ones was the Arlington Draft House, which is a perfect venue for it. Seats 300. Got the screen. Got everything we need. And we have got two dates there. Not sort of confirmed, or they're not on the website yet, but September 4th and October 2nd. And we're going to be getting Rob Spiewak on the 4th to help us out. He's going to be part of it.
I'm excited about that. And then we have another one at Magoobies at the end of October, right?
Yeah, the 25th. That's a Sunday, a non-Raven Sunday for all the Baltimore people. Sorry, that's an NFL team in Baltimore. but yeah, no, so we're super excited about that because the Draft House is... That's a perfect venue for us because we have this video we play. They've got a screen. They've got this. I mean, everything's set up perfectly for us. And so for all the Northern Virginia people that maybe listen that wouldn't come up to Baltimore, this is perfect for you, Arlington, Virginia. It's near D.C. for those of you who don't know. I'm trying to make it local. Yeah, David Koechner, super awesome guy. Probably the nicest celebrity I've ever met, to be honest, in terms of not just being nice, but going out of his way to be nice and cool.
Well, you know what? He probably just is because he seems like you want him to be like the guy that you see on the screen.
Yeah.
But I also, guys like that, they can either, if it was me, let's say I was David Koechner, I'd be like, when I go somewhere, I have to make sure that I'm ingratiating myself to everybody or they're going to motherfuck me, right? Like I did to John Lovitz for being a dick.
Right.
So I don't want people to motherfuck me, so that's why I'm nice. I probably is genuinely a nice guy anyway, but, you know, maybe even if he doesn't feel like he has, he's like, oh, I really don't feel like it today, but he's got to.
Well, yeah, he definitely was on at all times and making sure to talk to people and meet people and go out of his way and just be the guy that you wanted him to be. Tawanda fell in love with him. She thought it was super cool. Because we had a nice little conversation about his career, and I gave him an idea I think he might have liked that he hadn't thought about in terms of a TV show about like a character actor who's trying to get away from that persona and do comedy, which is literally his life, and people keep yelling out punchlines and stuff. And so I don't know if he'll do something with that. But if that happens, I'm going to want credit for that.
You think? You think he'll give you production credit?
I would like that. I would like that. In other news, Ronda Rousey murdered a woman, and it makes me pissed off again that we could have had her on the show, but it was, I don't know whose fault it was, but I know it wasn't mine.
Well, I know I'll be the one that has, I didn't respond.
No, you did respond. You responded who?
Yeah, okay, I know, I was trying to be hilarious.
I don't want to go over this again.
Robbie got bitter, and then as a result, he's like, forget it, I don't want to blow my contact. Well, you know how many guests we've gotten since then? That was 3 years ago. None.
And now she's impossible to get. Now she's the most famous woman in the friggin' world. Behind,
yeah, I mean, who's more famous than her? Oprah, Michelle Obama, Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, Serena Williams, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah. More people know who Serena Williams is, right?
I mean,
right?
They know, like, the friggin' Princess, whatever her name is.
Yeah, Kate Middleton.
Yeah, yeah.
Caitlyn Jenner.
She's definitely in the top 100 most famous women on the planet right now, correct?
Yeah, and in terms of, like, who you would invest in, like, she's, like, the up-and-coming. She's doing a movie based on her life, and she's starring in it.
What could her life be? She trained, and then she won a gold medal for judo, and then can't make any money doing judo, so she had to beat people up, and now she does. What's the story?
That's the
obviously,
story.
Obviously, if she's studied judo, I guarantee you she grew up in privilege. Let's not act like she was on the
No. Her dad killed himself while her sister and her were sitting on the couch watching cartoons. He went in the garage and put the car on and killed himself.
Okay, well, that's about 5 minutes of the movie. Now what?
And then her mom is a judo superstar. We're super strict. Look, she's got an autobiography. I don't know. Clearly, they're making a movie about her. She's got to have some drama. She's just some rich girl that just beat up people.
I understand they're trying to hype these fights, but the woman from Brazil, what's her deal? Why is she doing all that? She was like aggressively yelling at her, calling her all kinds of names. I'm like, you know, this girl's going to beat your ass. And then she did.
Yeah. In your home country. Yeah.
That's smart because I guess she's like, well, she's going to beat me up anyway. I might as well. You know, but she might have, if she would have not acted that way, instead of like pummeling her in the face and just bloodying her and knocking her out, maybe she would have submitted her with some sort of arm bar and that would have been the end of it. You
probably.
Know?
Probably. But oh, I'm a sucker, though. Whenever they trash talk or someone gets in the face, I want to watch it. Like, I think if presidential debates, if they did more of that, people would get better ratings.
You mean if the presidential debates, like Donald Trump ran up to the other candidates and started jawing at them?
Yes.
He might do that. He might do that.
And it'll be huge ratings. Like, I got to see this.
What do you think Donald Trump's going to do? Just discuss things on his their merits? You know what I mean? Do you think he's just going to talk issues? No, he's going to have to sensationalize it.
Yeah. If you're not loving all this Trump stuff, you're an idiot. And I'm not talking about politically loving it. I'm just talking about loving the theater of it. Because it's entertaining.
It's hilarious. He literally said he doesn't like John McCain because his real heroes don't get caught or whatever the hell he said.
Yes.
I mean, it's so awful. I mean, what are you really going to be mad? This guy's clearly, that's hilarious. It seems not real.
Right.
So I like it.
Yeah, no, I want more of it. SNL's dying. Just please make it to September, still being relevant, so we can do every episode.
He's leading in the polls, which doesn't mean much because I think he has 15%, and that's what's leading. And people will drop out, and then serious candidates will overtake him.
Right.
But I do like the idea that he's leading. People are like, this guy's really got something to say. I love it.
It's hilarious.
He seems like somebody that Robbie would like. Robbie, are you voting for Trump?
I like Trump as a celebrity. He's unelectable as a candidate, but I'm entertained by him being in the race.
Yes, of course.
I thought you were going to join his campaign team. That's all.
He's going to knock on doors. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll debate the deaths of the lion, the rowdy piper, and, of course, the robot. Rob and Joe Show. Be right back.
Hey, it's Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show on 98 Rock. Never forget, my name goes first. I'm taking part in a new live, interactive, hilarious comedy whodunit from the minds of Rob and Joe. It's called The Last Laugh, where I'm the star, as I should be. I play multiple roles. I play a comedian, a real piece of crap, a detective who's not good at his job, a fat girl in a wheelchair, Optimus Prime, and Mr. T's mustache. Come check it out, and maybe, just maybe, you can join us on stage. It's going to be incredible. Come see it.
Next performance, September 4th at the Arlington Cinema and Draft House. Tickets on sale now. For upcoming show dates and more info, visit facebook.com/dielaughingproductions or robinjoe.com. And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
So this Cecil the Lion story has gotten, I think it's gotten ridiculous. I am not a hunter, never. I think I've never hunted. I've never killed anything except, well, I've run over a skunk with a car. But you know what I mean. And if this guy did something illegal, you know, then he should pay whatever he paid for. But like people, like they want to murder this guy. I actually went on Facebook. I jokingly said, "Hey, everybody, let's go to this guy's house and murder him to show how much we're against violence." And people were like, "Yes, let's do it." Like they didn't get the humor. I was like, "No, I don't." You know, I mean, look, it's. I don't. I wish he hadn't killed the lion. I like lions, but I don't want this guy's family to be raped.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. There's this thing where the life of an animal becomes more important than the life of a human. That happens all the time in this culture. I'm not sure why that happens. I'm not sure. Maybe because we know people and they're despicable, right? Maybe that's why. And maybe it's because animals can't defend themselves, right?
Well, the act of killing some defenseless animal or a child, somebody that can't defend himself, is inherently
gross. Oh, of course it is. Yes, of course it is horrendous. It is. But I mean, I definitely think that the outrage never mirrors or never, it just doesn't represent the way that it should versus the other things that people should care about. Either way, there should be penalties that are assigned to these crimes. And then that's the law of the land should rule. That's it. We shouldn't treat this guy worse or better. That's basically it. Because now they're talking about, you know, Zimbabwe wants to extradite this guy and bring him back and make him face their laws. How do I feel about that? I don't know. Whenever Zimbabwe has come to try to do that in the past, how have we reacted? Whatever we've done in the past is what I want to do now. I don't want this guy to be some sort of example. I don't want him to be protected. I just want there to be justice, right? And if justice is normally when they say this person committed a crime in our land, could you please send him back? If we normally do, send him back. But send him back also, and then you face the penalties.
The easiest guy to dislike. He's the douchey looking white guy. He's a dentist.
He's privileged. He's rich. Obviously he's rich. And now he wants to kill lions. Yeah.
But I would never, I'll never write a Yelp review on an establishment I've never been to. And people are just crushed him on Yelp. And like, I disagree with what he did, but I've never been to his dental practice. So I'm not going to give a Yelp review.
Oh, I see. People are going on Yelp saying this guy's the worst.
Yeah.
They're not reviewing his dental work. They're reviewing his hunting.
Right. Which I don't like that as a, just as a slippery slope. What if someone's pro-life or pro-choice? Now they're bad at being a dentist because you disagree with either one of those things.
Listen, I think it's horrible that this lion was killed. But what's the law for killing a lion that you're not supposed to kill? What's the penalty? Is it 5 years in jail? Is it 10 years in jail? Whatever it is, make him go back, face this penalty. And if he's found guilty, you know, but again, I also don't want to send this guy back on a witch hunt. I mean, if you look at the facts and this guy really didn't know what he was getting into, because, you know, I'll bet there are legal lion hunts. I'll bet there are, which is there shouldn't be, but I'll bet there are. And if this guy, it's almost like it's smoking as an example. You know, you're like, oh, man, this smoke offends me. Well, let's make it illegal to smoke in bars. Well, now let's make it illegal to smoke within 10 feet. Now let's make it illegal to vape. Okay. Make the laws the laws. Whatever they are, make them that. But, I mean, if this guy's going to be a poster child for, you know, whatever, because there's this public outrage, I don't want that either. I want this guy to get a fair trial. And if he can't, we shouldn't send him back.
Well, J.L. Covan has made this point a few times on his podcast, The Righteous Prick. Check it out. And it's a great point, and that this is the best and the worst time to do something wrong. It's the worst time because everyone finds out about it, but it's the best time because something else will happen right after. People will forget about it.
That's true.
So this will blow over. But what I think will happen, though, if people go too far, then the pendulum swings back, and now people are going to want to defend this guy.
I don't know, man. That doesn't seem to be the world anymore. It doesn't. You understand that we just had the most homicides in the city of Baltimore in what, like 50 years?
Yeah.
47 people were killed, and nobody has backed off of the issue of these police doing wrong. Nobody's backed off. It doesn't matter. This stuff, people being killed, will never supersede, for some reason, police not following protocol. You know, so are both bad? Yes, they're both horrible. But this pendulum swing, no, no, no. We are swinging so far to the left that what used to be the left is now the center. And now we're looking at this. Nobody's outraged. People are still blaming the cops for these fatalities. They're still blaming them. And if there's 60 next month, they'll still blame the cops. I don't see it swinging back when obviously logic dictates, guys, we got a bigger fish to fry right now, which we do. People are dying.
Yeah, well, there's so many problems. You pick which one you want to talk about. But Chris Restivo's father thinks that you are a left, super left-leaning liberal, Joe.
Chris Restivo's father thinks
that's what Chris told me, yeah. Because well, you don't think Chris should call people faggot.
Okay. Well, yeah, so obviously you shouldn't do that.
Right, of course you shouldn't. That makes
that's
you,
why he thinks that because
yeah, you're Michael
I'm
Dukakis. Yeah.
So there's a word that's a slur against a group. And because I think that that's bad, which, by the way, everyone does.
Of
everyone
course.
Thinks that that word is bad, right?
It's a horrible word. Yes.
And then that makes me a far to the left guy.
Right, right. And then we had, and I guess I blame this on you and us, Rowdy Roddy Piper, Joe. You just saw him.
I saw him. I saw him 13 days prior to his death.
That might have been his last performance.
Oh no, it definitely was. It was his last performance.
Is Joe a suspect?
No, he had a heart attack. But that was the second time I'd met Rowdy Roddy Piper.
I never
first
met
time
him.
He didn't die, so I know it wasn't me.
Yeah.
But that was strange to see somebody. It's not like I know Rowdy Roddy Piper. I wasn't even a big fan of wrestling, but I just happened to see this guy. And then in less than 2 weeks, he's dead. That's strange. But that happens to me, as you know, if you're a listener to the show, we had the reality celebrity death pool, and I was able to pick two of the five. They're dead. Whitney Houston and Rodney King, both dead.
See, I grew up with Jimmy Superfly Snuka was my wrestling hero, and his big rival was Rowdy Roddy Piper. That was the huge rival.
Is Jimmy Superfly Snuka dead?
He's not, but he's having health issues. So he
you want me to go see him?
Well, maybe he wants to just, you know, he lost Piper, you know. Piper sucker punched him in Piper's pit. I never got over it as a child, but I learned to love Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Oh, you never wished him dead, Rob?
I never wished him dead. And then what may be the saddest of all, the hitchhiking robot is dead.
Yeah, explain a robot. This premise to me. The robot would just sit there with its thumb out.
Yes.
Somebody would come and put it in his car, and it would be like, I'm going to wherever, and they would just drive it to the next city.
Well, these Canadian researchers, they created this thing. It's a social experiment to see how people would react to it. And I assume it sits there. Maybe there's a button you push, and it explains what it is. And it's relying, it can't move. It's relying on you to take it places, and I guess, you know, people will tweet out pictures and stuff. I mean, it spent a week like in Europe with a heavy metal band. It's, you know, been all through hitchhiking in Canada and parts of Europe, just all over. It gets to America July 17th. 2 weeks later, some fucking guy in Philly with a Randall Cunningham jersey beats the crap out of it. And it's
dead. Yeah, now are they going to out this guy and he's going to be
There's
the new
video
dentist?
Of it. He's going to be worse than the dentist.
It's funny because when they find this guy, first of all, when I see I saw the video of him and I already know I hate this guy, but I would have hated him long before this action. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He looks like the kind of person that I'm just going to hate, right?
Well, he's got his hat on backwards. He's wearing a jersey and there's no game on. I hate that guy.
Well, there's nobody around him. You follow what I'm saying? I get it. If you're with your buddies and you're trying to be hilarious or whatever, he's just a guy by himself, just destroying shit.
Yeah.
What's this guy's problem?
I don't know. Everyone loves robots, right?
I don't understand it. I mean, it would never occur to me to walk down the street and destroy anything by myself. He's like putting a brick through a window. What? I don't understand the difference. And he just destroyed this robot.
What would you have done with the robot if you had come across it?
I guess I would have driven it where it needed to go, right? I would have wanted to be part of whatever this movement was.
I would have taken it to a comedy show, obviously, tweeted about it, talked about it. And then I think you got to hand it off to someone who you count on will do something with it. I mean, it went to a Red Sox game in Boston. It got down to Philly.
They let the robot in the stadium?
Apparently, yeah. Well, you thought it was a bomb or something?
Well, no, I can't imagine that they would do that, but I get because I get it if everybody knows what it is, but nobody, I mean, I'd never heard of it until somebody destroyed it.
Yeah. I mean, I would, Robbie, what would you do with the robot?
I would leave it sit there.
You wouldn't do anything with the robot?
I don't want to be a part of it.
You would try to have sex with it like it was a beanbag chair?
No, that robot wasn't sexually attractive to me.
Oh, sorry. But to be honest, though, if you said you're going to leave a robot sitting in America and it's supposed to, it's just up to Americans to make it get across country, I'm betting that wouldn't happen. This doesn't
now,
surprise
hadn't
me.
This robot gone to other countries and no problem, it made its, it
yeah,
made its
no
way
problems
across.
All through Canada.
God, we're such here. Dicks.
Yes, we are.
Where did it start?
In America, where did it start?
Yeah.
I believe it started up in Boston.
Yeah, and then so the very next city it went to was Philly, and then those dicks destroyed it?
It only lasted 2 weeks.
It 2 weeks. That's how long it probably was like 10 years old. And then it was in America for 2 weeks and somebody destroyed
it. It started in Marblehead, Massachusetts, wherever that is.
In this guy's defense, who destroyed it, he's not alone. Some other dick would have destroyed it. He's going to sit and say, yes, right. He happens to be the culprit. But if he would have walked past it, the next dick would have broken it.
It went in the Netherlands. Someone did a portrait of it. It went to a wedding. It spent a week with a heavy metal band. I mean, it had a good life. So rank your level of sadness. One being most sad. The robot, the lion, the wrestler.
Huh. Well, I'm the most sad, I guess, about the robot. No, I'm the most sad about the human, right? I mean, clearly the human is the one I'm the most sad about, knowing nothing about him. And the second thing I'm most sad about is the other thing that's alive, the lion. And then third would be the robot. What about who you have the most disdain for?
No, hold on. So you're going to go human, lion, wrestler, lion, robot.
Yes, everybody.
You see, the robot's the only thing that doesn't have to die. The other two, it's inevitable. They're going to die.
Well, I'm not going to be the most sad about the robot because, you know, it can be rebuilt.
But it's not that I'm sad that the robot died. I'm sad that we as Americans killed the robot. I'm sad that it ended because I think it was cool. I'm literally most upset about the robot.
Yeah, I'm easily most upset about the human. He was only 61 years old.
No, I loved him, but he's a wrestler.
He had another
25
years on the planet, and he's
dead. In wrestling
years,
that's a good life. 61.
All right.
Robbie?
Well, the last time I saw him, he was in Joppa Town. How great could his life have been? So maybe it was good. Maybe he was
going
done.
Robot, wrestler, lion. Robbie?
Yes, exactly the same order, Rob.
All right, Marcus?
No, robot one. You're most sad about the robot. You understand, the robot's not dead. They can literally just get pieces and remake.
But it's what happened. It's the robot was cool. It was so much. It's just dumb that he just did this for no reason. What a dick.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Who's the most despicable out of the three? Honestly, I do find, even though I value, I'm most sad about Rowdy Roddy Piper.
No one killed
him. The person I hate the most is the guy who killed the robot, not the guy who hunted the lion.
Okay.
That guy I hate so much more. He's such a fucking dick. And I already know it just from watching him.
Yes.
Just watching him in that blurry video, I already know. I know exactly the kind of guy he is. With that,
so you hate
jacket,
robot killer over lion killer?
Yes.
Okay. I tend to agree with you on that. Marcus, where do you stand on this?
I got to go with Rod Roddy on top, then followed by the robot, then the lion on the bottom. Who gives a crap about the lion?
Okay.
Well, who gives a crap about the robot?
Well, it's a social experiment. It's science.
It's metal. It's nothing.
Yeah, but you're ruining an experiment. You're ruining the data collection that could be done on this social experiment.
No, actually, you're not, Marcus, because these guys who were smart enough to create this can just build another one. It's not like it's a moon launch. It's just a robot with a CD-ROM in it. I mean, it's not. What are we talking about here? This isn't a supercomputer. This isn't Deep Blue or whatever, the guy who beat the Russian in chess. It's just some robot with a it's a Skype in a robot is basically what it is.
But you're telling me I should care about the lion because of the fact that it has a name? Who cares? Nobody cares about my goldfish when it dies.
I don't even remember mentioning the name. No, but your goldfish isn't on the what's the word?
Endangered species.
Yes, thank you for that. Is it? I don't know. What are you doing to your goldfish? I would feel more sorry for your goldfish if you were poisoning it like that little girl in The Sixth Sense, just dropping a little bit of, you know, arsenic in its water.
Only one of those three things would kill your goldfish, and that's the friggin' lion.
Wow. Doesn't have time for that. No, clearly the human is what you should be the saddest about.
look, I guess, but he was going to die.
I can't tell you how to feel. If you said, what are you more sad about? Some 90-year-old woman in Wyoming. Well, no, I have no personal attachment to this. This guy I just saw the other day. He entertained me. Now he's dead.
Okay, but it's not the death. If the robot just stopped working, it just broke, then I wouldn't be sad. It's that this guy killed it for no reason.
Well, you're saying what's the most despicable act? Again, I still think it's probably more despicable to go and hunt down an endangered species and kill it. I do think that's more despicable. But if I watched how it was done, I don't know, man. Because at least he's a sport. He crossbowed this lion. And yeah, it's horrible, but in the end of the day, it is a sport. It isn't a sport to just walk by and throw a brick through a window. And that's essentially what this guy did.
Yeah.
He just ripped the arms off of this robot and then just kicked it and just bashed it in.
Let's take a break. I'm sure people are going to be mad at this. I can already tell. We're going to get a lot of lion lover hate.
Can I just throw in this one wrench? Would you feel differently if the robot were Johnny Five and the lion were the Cowardly Lion from The Wizard of Oz?
Well, those also both have personalities, right? Yeah. And the Johnny Five, yeah, I mean, it looked like an organ. Yeah, because it was a transformer that had, you know, it had organic properties. Yes, I would feel different if it had personality traits.
Oh, if it's Optimus Prime, Roddy's going to the bottom of the list.
Of course. Well, I wouldn't, just for my boy Justin Schlegel, my man crush. Well, the very
Optimus Prime would have crushed that punk, that friggin' Eagles fan. Optimus Prime would beat the Lion. So let's not talk crazy here. What do we got coming up? Let's take a break. Joe, you have a story about an Indian restaurant, but don't make it from Baltimore. No one will listen. Rob and Joe should be right back.
With summer in full swing, there's a lot of places you want to go, but the post office isn't one of them. Driving there, parking, waiting for a clerk, what a hassle. So use Stamps.com instead to buy and print real U.S. postage for any envelope or package using your own computer and printer.
Right now, use the promo code ROBINJOE for this special offer. A no-risk trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including a digital scale and $55 free postage. Go to Stamps.com today. Click on the microphone and type in ROBINJOE. That's Stamps.com. Promo code Rob and Joe.
And now back to the Rob and Joe show.
You got to hang out with, can we talk about that? You hung out with Justin Schlegel? Can we talk about that?
Yeah, why wouldn't we be able to talk?
He's a very private person, Joe. Very private.
Yeah, I went to the Indian Palace with Justin Schlegel and his pregnant girlfriend. And I don't think he says her name. I think he calls her Buck. So I'll just say that too.
Okay.
And then me and Katie, that's who went. I'm allowed to say my girlfriend's name in public. Right. Anyway.
Not pregnant, Katie.
Not pregnant. So we go to the Indian Palace. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we get in, there's nobody in there, by the way. There's only two other tables. And it's a big place. And the guy is sweating profusely. He's like, okay, I'll be with you in a minute. I'll be like, by the way, we're not upset. Everything's fine. He's like, right. I'm so done. And he's very, and then when we get there, he's putting the water and he's yelling at us about where we have our menus. I need you to move these menus so I can put the plates down. I'm like, okay, well, isn't that your job? He's already yelling at us. Now, he ends up, he brings the food. He's apologized. I'm so sorry. And it's stressful. This is extremely stressful. Finally, we eat the food. Now, by the way, it's a huge meal. Justin got fish tikka. I got chicken tikka. The girls, but I can't remember what the girls got. They both got the same meal. There's a huge amount of food. We eat it, kind of, we all eat off of each other's plate, but there's a lot of food left, but we ate a lot. The guy comes back and goes, you didn't like the meal? I go, no, it's fine. He goes, well, no, next time you come, you'll order something different. And I'm like, well, what if I wanted to order the same thing? Isn't it okay? He goes, well, then let me take, you want to take it away? I go, well, no, I don't want to take it with, then you didn't like it. So now I'm in an argument with this guy. Meanwhile, I don't want to have Indian food in my car. That's all. I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm not so opulent that I just throw food away, but I have to because I can't have it sitting in my car over an entire comedy show. And now this place that I loved, I can't go back. You understand? I'm not allowed to go back there because if that guy sees me, he's going to make me get something different than what I want because the last time I didn't finish my meal. What is he, my dad? I cannot finish my meal I paid for.
So you're never going to go back there again?
I don't see how I could. That guy's clearly going to remember us. He only had three customers.
Is the food good?
The food was great. Love the food.
I think he's like, just trying really hard to make you happy. That's not a bad quality.
I mean, I can't imagine how bad he is at his job. The whole idea is to make you feel comfortable. I felt so stressed while we were there. By the way, he wasn't good. You'd figure with if he cared that much, he'd be good. It's not like our food came out in a hurry. As a matter of fact, Justin and I got our meals, and after we had eaten about half of it, he brought out the sauce that was supposed to go with the meal.
Did you tip him well or not?
I mean, I tipped him the customary 20% because I didn't want to, if we didn't tip properly, then that would have reflected that we didn't enjoy the meal. I didn't want him to feel that way.
So him acting like that actually got him a bigger tip.
No, it just got him the normal tip. I'm always going to just go ahead and leave the appropriate tip. By the way, the food was great. I think what I'll do next time, because it's right by Magoobies, is I'll just look and I'll just peek and see if he's in there. And if he is, I just won't go. Because I can't, he mentioned something. I said, are you the owner? He's not even the owner, just works there. And I'm thinking, if you just work here, why don't they fire you? Like, if they see your behavior, there's got to be a million people that want waiter jobs, right?
Why don't we get him on the show? How about that, Joe?
I don't know that. I mean, I guess we could get him on the show and ask. He didn't speak very good English. There was a guy. I tell you what it reminds me of. If anybody is from, I know they don't like when we do things that are inside. But in the Crofton Dunkin' Donuts, there's three. And there was one that was in the parking lot, Staples Corner.
Just imagine it's a coffee shop where you live.
Yes. And there was this guy. And every time he would, you pulled up to the drive-thru, he'd go, welcome to Dunkin' Donuts. How can I take your order? I mean, he was over the top.
Hate that.
And I'd be like, I'll have a, you know, large coffee cream and sugar. That's one large coffee cream and sugar, $2.12. Is there anything else that I can help you with today? Possibly a donut, possibly, And I'd be like, dude, stop. And I guarantee you the owner or the manager is like, okay, listen, you can't be so overzealous. Calm down. And he couldn't. And they fucking fired him. That's what they need to do with this guy. Okay, don't apologize. People had a good time and they enjoyed their meal, and you end up apologizing and telling them they didn't like their meal. It makes them not want to come back.
Do you think the overzealous guy? Because I've seen that kind of person places. Are they just trying so hard to do well, which is good that they want to do well? Because a lot of people just half-ass a job like that. But is that the reason they're only at that level of a job? Because they do that. Because you would think if they had the kind of enthusiasm and energy that they would probably advance up.
I just think some people are nerds.
Yeah.
Now, there are cool nerds. There's Jimmy Meritz and Tommy Simbazo. And then there are nerd nerds like the guy from Dunkin' Donuts. That's what you have.
Well, on the food subject, a few months ago, told the story about Tawanda and her work during the, I guess it was about a year ago now this happened. At their NFL kickoff potluck, people bring food in. This woman wore a Ravens jersey, but claimed that she forgot that there was this celebration, even though she wore what you would never wear to work unless it was this NFL-themed party. So she happens to have a cucumber at her desk that she brings every day. She cuts it up, puts it out, and so that she can then eat all the good food. Which, of course, Tawanda ended up calling her on it. It became a big thing. Well, fast forward to another potluck event. This woman decides to have dessert, bring dessert. Now, I get if you want to make food from home and bring it in. But, like, dessert, you should never bake something. Because so many places have good desserts. You should just buy something store-bought, right?
Of course.
Well, she brings in these chocolate pudding pies. Now, I don't know if you've seen the movie The Help.
Yes, exactly. Right. Eat my shit. I'm not eating those.
Yes. So Tawanda says that. Word spreads around. As a joke, no one eats the chocolate pudding. Now, if it said Wegmans on the friggin' box, everyone's gonna eat them because who wouldn't want chocolate pudding pie? It sounds amazing.
Of course, it sounds delicious.
But because she refused, I mean, just buy something from the grocery store. That's all you gotta do.
I think that she, by the way, I love Tawanda, but yeah. I believe Tawanda and I would have a problem if we worked together.
Oh, really?
Of course. If there's a potluck and I forget my food, and she's like, where's your food, Joe? And I go, hey, Tawanda, relax. I forgot. I can't eat now. There's 18 other things in there. Now I can't eat. Well, I would not put my lunch in there like this lady with the cucumber. I'd say, I'm so sorry, I forgot. What, are you going to make me starve? I can't participate? How about I bring donuts in on Friday? Is that okay?
I think she believed, look, the woman wore the jersey. She remembered that this was happening that day. So that's the thing. It's like, we know you didn't forget. You just chose. You just
but now, look, but think about this. Okay. But now there's
a grocery store 2 miles from.
Understood. But now this woman baked two pies.
Yes.
So obviously she could have maybe wore the jersey, but then, hey, oh, I forgot the food. That's possible. I'm not defending the woman. I guess I am a little bit.
You are.
But what I'm saying, you're right. And if it was me, I would have gone and bought something. 100% I would have done that. I would have said, oh, let me run out to Shoppers and get some cookies or whatever. I would do that. But if she was calling me out in front of the office, if it was hilarious, that's one thing, right? Then that's a whole different thing. But it's usually like, you cheap motherfucker trying to bring cucumbers. Then I'd be like, hey, relax a little bit, all right? I'll go to Shoppers. I get my break at 11:15. I'll go over there. I'll buy a sponge cake and I'll bring it back. We don't try to embarrass me in front of everybody.
No, I'm pro Tawanda on that one. I can tell Robbie is also. So don't mess with her at work. A few months ago, I told you about a gig I might have at this the seminar these guys were happening, this doctor's seminar, and they wanted to mix up the curriculum, have me, a comic, teach a class. Remember that?
Yes.
Well, end up the seminar, no one was going to it. The tickets were sales were horrible. So I think they might have even canceled the entire thing, but they definitely canceled my portion. So that was supposed to be just this summer. Well, a similar opportunity has come about. There's a friend of Todd Moore's, of course, you know Todd Tomo on TMOS, Tech 411, my former roommate. I met this guy, this friend of his, a couple years ago at Todd's birthday party. He's a doctor, lives in McLean. His name is Gil. And he's done stand-up a few times at open mics over the years, but clearly he's never tried to be a comic. He's a freaking doctor. But he wants to pay me to help him, to turn him into a comedian. You know what? We haven't talked price. I feel like it's one of these things that he'd like to show off how much money he has. He would give me more if I didn't quote him anything. Does that make sense?
Like, what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, if it's one time, if I go to his house for 2 hours, I'm sure he'd give me $100 at least, but I don't know.
No, I want more than $100. You drive to his house? Where does he live?
McLean.
Yeah, if you're driving to somebody's house. By the way, you live in Ellicott City. That's a hall.
Yeah.
You're there for 2 hours writing jokes with this guy? Nah, he should give you more than $100.
He might. I mean, I just made that number up. I don't know. But he sent me, and I sent it to you guys. He has a bunch of jokes written down. And so I'll read a few so we know what we're getting into here. So I'm Jewish, and I'm a doctor. Sorry for being redundant. So being Jewish, I'm pretty much allowed to have premarital sex. As Jews, we don't really frown upon premarital sex. I'm allowed to have premarital sex. I'm just not allowed to pay for it because I'm Jewish, unless you get a really good deal, like buy one, get one free. I usually get my hookers on Groupon.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think that's horrible.
It's good to talk about sex. So Caitlyn Jenner is bringing some attention to the transgender community. Gets a lot of attention and called a hero. Basically for embracing, let's call it, unorthodox sexual tendencies and being proud of them. I've been doing unorthodox sexual stuff for years, and I never get called a hero. I get called a pervert. I'm not a pervert. I'm a fucking hero. Yeah, when I want to dress up like Elmo and have chicks tickle me, I'm considered a pervert.
No, that's not horrible. I mean, I'm not saying this guy's going to be able to deliver this material where people will laugh at it, but I get the idea. I mean, I get what he's trying to do. It is funny to say I'm a doctor and I'm Jewish. I don't mean to be redundant. Now, it's a little hacky or whatever, but still, I mean, at least, I mean, he's just starting, right?
Pretty much. I mean, this next, I think he's done it over the years a few times here and there. But this next joke is actually a joke that Mike Payne, the great Mike Payne, who will be on The Righteous Prick this week, co-writer of Blame the Victim, he had a joke that was similar to this. His joke was, you know, these guys say they have fetishes. You know what my fetish is? Consent. You know, I can't be ticky. I want sex without a receipt. That was his joke. And he kind of has the same joke. A lot of people have fetishes these days, into kinky things. I never got laid enough to be that selective. To me, my fetish is consent.
No, man, that's funny. Yeah. That's a funny premise. So you know what I would do if I were you?
What's that?
Is I would just take his own material, and I would just deliver it in your style, and then charge this guy $500 and roll. That's what I would do. give this guy material. You need your own material. You can give
I'm not
going to
give
him
material.
That's
Here's
what
my
I'm saying.
One.
I mean, you'll take that. You'll teach him how to say it, not sound like an idiot, and then and then leave, and leave with a fistful of cash.
My wife and I like to role play. We play doctor. I dress up in scrubs and make her wait in the living room with old magazines for 2 hours, and then bring in for a 5-minute appointment and send her a $300 bill. He's got tons of stuff here. I mean,
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
That you're like, hey, read this, guys. I'm like, I'm not going to read all of that. I'll read the first couple.
Supposed to have good grades as a doctor. You're supposed to have a 4.0, but I'm not very smart. But what I did was just found suicidal roommates, because as everyone knows, when your roommate kills themselves, you get a 4.0. I would tell my roommate how his life sucked. He had no friends. He'd never get laid. He was doomed to a life working at Chipotle, cleaning up the bathrooms. Then I want to have to go find another roommate for the next semester. I guess I was just very unlucky with roommates. I don't get that. People kill themselves, you get a 4.0.
Well, hold on. The thing about being, he was unlucky because they didn't kill themselves. Is that what he's saying? So I want to understand the joke.
I guess
and
I was
I'll...
just very unlucky with roommates.
Okay. So I think that's a good idea for a joke, is he just, I don't know that I like the way that he did it, but the idea that instead of studying, he worked very, very hard to get his roommates to kill themselves. He ended up graduating magna cum laude. That's funny. That's a funny idea. But yeah, I remember there was a movie starring Zach from Saved by the Bell. Hold on one second.
He's sneezing again, Joe Robinson. Maybe you need to see the doctor.
Sorry about that. Anyway, what was I just saying? Yeah, there was a movie. What was it called? Dead Man on Campus or something. Right. And it was, the idea was they were trying to get their roommate to kill themselves so they could get a 4.0.
Okay.
So this guy basically stole the premise of an early 90s movie starring Zach.
All right, what about this one? I like being a doctor, but in some ways it's almost like being clergy. People feel like they can tell you anything, and they do. When I'm on a plane, I never tell anyone that I'm a doctor, because if I do, they tell me about their hemorrhoids, their vaginal discharge, their bowel habits, their impotence. I mean, fuck, can you say TMI? Even on a date, girl with no colon was going to take her dinner, but I was like, hey, let's just get drinks. Didn't want an emergency.
Yeah, no, that's a bad one.
No, I
By
think
the way,
I like
you
that
ever
premise.
Do that?
I like
do you
that
ever
premise,
do you ever go to a, if you somebody says, hey, I'm a doctor, go, hey, will you look at this mole? Would you ever do that?
I wouldn't, but it seems like something people might do. So, when you tell people you're a comedian, they tell you to tell you a joke.
Real quick, you know, I did a I went and I did a I didn't do a sleep study, I did a home sleep study.
Right.
Because I snore horribly.
Yeah.
And you know, I wake up gasping for air. And so what they said was, they said that if you have 30 or more sleep events a night, then that's considered extreme. Guess how many I had?
30 is extreme?
That's correct.
You had 42.
46.
Wow.
46. So I'm still alive. I'll be sleeping sitting up until my machine arrives. And then once it arrives, I'll be, hey, you know what? I'll be funnier because I'll be more well-rested.
When does this happen?
I don't know, because the doctor called me and she goes, I don't know, I'm checking with your insurance to see how to do all this, and I'll let you know. And I'm like, well, I don't want to die while you're checking with my insurance. You want me to make a call? I can call them.
Okay, here's a one-liner that I actually think is pretty funny. Just a quick one-liner. I have a friend who has a trophy wife, but she's not in first place.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty
funny. That's about 5 seconds. That reminds me of Todd Leatherberry.
It's something.
Where he'll write a joke, and then I'll be like, okay, well, now what? You have another,
right.
You know, 44 minutes and 55 seconds.
Well, that's Dr. Gill. I'm going to be coaching him up, see how that's going to work out. The chat was all about you tonight, Joe, all the chat, the names, 46-year-old with no furniture.
I have furniture.
Not Metallica, not into Metallica, but loves Skynyrd.
Yeah, is that really awful? Aren't there a lot of people that are like that? Is that crazy?
I think most people think Metallica is a lot better band.
I don't think a lot, but I don't agree with that. I just don't. I don't think that a lot of people think Metallica is a lot better band than Lynyrd Skynyrd. No. I think that there are people that, I'll bet you that's 50-50. If you went around and said, who do you think is a better band? Half the people would say Lynyrd Skynyrd, half the people would say Metallica.
Go to our... Well, fine. We can have that poll. But also go to our Facebook page. You can see Chris Restivo stripping. And then one last Restivo tidbit. He's coming out with a line of clothing. He released a picture today, what he's calling his woman's summer line. Now, I'm not a fashion expert, but I'm pretty sure the summer line comes out in like April and not at the end of the summer.
Would you really want one of the biggest misogynists on the planet to come out with a women's line? I mean, do you think that's good for think that's good marketing?
I think it's a great idea. You don't be such a liberal, Joe. That's the show. Go to our Facebook, our Die Laughing Productions Facebook. Like that, we'll be updating all the new murder mystery stuff, including Rob Spiewak's role. And next week we'll talk even more inside stuff, all about Joe's new house. And I don't know, where do you live? Randallstown, Crofton.
That's right.
Yeah. With how the teenage boys doing? You hanging out?
Yeah, hung out with them a couple times. Cool. Right.
Getting laid, getting chicks together.
That's right. Double dating.
All right. See you guys.
All right. See ya.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.